Psalm 145, a psalm of David. I will extol you, my God, my O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts.
I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works.
Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All your words shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power.
To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand and satisfy the desire of everything.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth.
He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them.
The Lord preserves all who love him, and all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Okay, this psalm is titled in the New King James here, A Song of God's Majesty and Love. And of course it is that, but it's far more than that. As you've heard me go through these psalms, lo, these many years, I hope you've seen a couple things present in most, if not all, of the psalms. First is that the psalms speak of Jesus Christ, not David the king as the king, but David the king as a precursor or a prefigurement of Jesus, the great king. And the second thing that we see throughout the psalm is God's covenant of grace with man. Again, the idea that the Jews lived in a covenant of works and we live in the covenant of grace is a slander both to them and to God. God is holy, and he can only accept perfect holiness and righteousness himself. As they were sinners, they are only acceptable in grace through the salvation of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, the same as we. As we look at this, this is a song of God's majesty and love, certainly. But more to the point, it's a song of the covenant, of a single person representing the covenant, singing the praises of the God who has set it up, who has purchased the covenant, who administers it, and then makes it personal and real to each of his called people. It's far more than just this title would suggest. It begins with a personal pronoun. One person starts the song. I will extol you, my God, O King. Elohim Melech, O God, or my God, O King, and I will bless your name forevermore. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. It begins with the need, as so many psalms do, with the need to worship and praise the Lord. Before we can look at ourselves, our needs, what he does, or anything else, we have to start with who are we talking to? Who are we talking about? Who is this great Lord that we worship? He is the great King, the Creator. Great is Yahweh, or Jehovah, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Some of the Psalms go on and on at great length with ways to explain parts or different areas of his greatness. This one stops with the fairly simple statement, his greatness is so much it's unsearchable. We could never come to the end of looking at it, looking for it. We could never find it all. Now, we start with God, and we see that he's the great King, the Creator, and his greatness is unsearchable. He's the covenant God, Yahweh, I am that I am. The next section now speaks to history, because it's not just a God of you and Him. He's a God of a covenant people throughout time, throughout history. From Genesis 3:15, when the covenant is first mentioned, all the way through to the end of Revelation, we have a historic progression of the covenant, a growth of understanding, a growth of mercy, a growth of the covenant achieved as each generation, more and more the covenant is done, more and more the covenant is seen. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We are not a single generation church. And I don't know if anybody's ever spent much time thinking about that, but we should. We do not exist in isolation from all the brothers in the past. They're not just gone. We see in the book of Revelation, they're at the throne. They're there. To some degree, they know what's going on. But we're part of a covenant group or family that extends throughout the generations. We know who and what God is by looking at what He's done for His other people throughout time. As the psalmist goes on in verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. Again, the knowledge of what God has done in the past gave the psalmist much to sing about God's glory, didn't it? As he looked back on the glory and splendor of God, of His grace and mercy throughout the generations, he learned about God in that. This is someone, or the Jews that sang this anyway, were looking forward to a salvation yet to happen, a covenant purchased in blood that had not yet been shed. But yet they were looking back to see the greatness of the covenant, As we look back, we see even more of it. We have even more to sing of the historical greatness of God on earth working out the covenant than the psalmist did. Now, we started, again, with God and then looking back at past generations. Now we see that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. We could spend a long time just on that verse. We don't have a long time, so we won't. But we could really spend much on just these two verses right here and the covenant significance of those. Remember, this is a psalm of the covenant. Looking at the past, and now we see that He's gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Every one of us should be glad for that. Slow to anger, great in mercy. He's good to all and His tender mercies are over all His works. The next section, we see that all the works of God praise Him. All His saints shall bless Him for that. The glory of God's King, they shall talk of His power, again making known God's great acts throughout the generations. But here we see, starting in verse 13, looking forward. We see your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The focus is starting to change. Not only are we looking at what God has done, but we're going to look at what He is establishing and what He will do. What is it that He's establishing? What will He do? Looking forward again, the focus changes in verse 14. Here we have His dominion. Here we have His providence. The next three verses speak of His providence upon His creation. He upholds those who fall, raises up those bowed down. The eyes of all look to Him, and He feeds them. He opens His hands. He satisfies the desires of every living thing. Here, of course, I could go on record, since we're recording this, as saying that there is some common grace extended to all men, because here we see all living things are satisfied by the grace and glory of God. But that's not enough. That's not all. There's more to the story. Because man's different than the rest of the creation of God. So the next batch of verses here, we see that the Lord is righteous in all His ways, but gracious in all His works. He's holy, but He's full of grace and mercy as well. He's not just this great mighty God who's above His creation and just so great that He really can't spend much time with us. That's not the God that we have. Rather, He's near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. In truth. Calling upon some God in error through idolatry or through other means other than Jesus doesn't work. But those who call upon Him in truth, He's near to. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. And here he's the sharp point for us. He also will hear their cry and save them. He's a God of salvation as well as mercy. He preserves all who love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. We see a God here now that upholds all things. All living things look to Him for their food, for their preservation. But more than just physical preservation, His covenant people can look upon Him in confidence for salvation because He's near to those who call upon Him in truth. Now, we've seen the covenant go from personal greatness to history, explanation of the covenant, looking forward to the kingdom, general providence, salvation of the covenant people. Now we cut back to the individual perspective, the one guy talking yet again. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Now who is this truly that's teaching us about the covenant? Who is this that starts with the greatness of the Creator and ends with how all flesh shall bless Him and praise Him forever and ever? You notice the psalm has gone beyond time. The psalm has gone beyond history to forever and ever after the great day. This is Jesus, the King of the covenant, who is really teaching us. He's the one who purchased the covenant, who's teaching His people what it means. What will it mean? How long will it mean that? And more to the point, you individually, how do you come to this great covenant? How do you come to this great salvation? It's by calling upon Him, fearing Him, calling upon Him in truth, confident that in Jesus' name He will, He can, He does save His people. So we'll sing the middle section of this, and I didn't look at what verses exactly we'll be singing. But remember, we're singing the teaching of the covenant of God, given by God to His people to sing forever and ever. So as we join throughout the history of all the covenant people of God, singing His praises, let's be mindful of the great host about us. Psalm 145, and we'll sing Part B.